And can I say to you this morning, do you know God wants to do something incredible in your life where worship is concerned? And God is working, and I think you all notice the difference in what's happening in worship in our group. God is doing an incredible thing, and He wants to do more in your life and in my life. So I'm asking you, I know it's hard in the morning, you've got kids, you're doing all kinds of things, but I'm asking you that you would make every effort to be here on time and not have the attitude that says, well, I'll only miss worship. You know, the most important thing you can do in your day to day is worship the King of Kings. So I hope, you know, that you'll think about that and kind of make plans. Get your outfit out the night before and do all those things you can, you know, to try to be here on time. So thank you for that. This morning, there are three things in front of you. I'm not sure how far we're going to get today. But one are these two verses that Alita did for you this morning. And she was wondering if I was ever going to remember to get them out. But this morning I did. And these, to me, were the key verses that God spoke to me this year. Nehemiah 4:14. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your friends, your family, and your home. That's what we do when we pray. The other one is Habakkuk. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength and my personal bravery and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not to stand in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon the high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. You know, I hope these will be an inspiration to you this morning and you'll hang on to those. God is your invincible army. There is nothing that you can go through that He will not be there with you and make you victorious as you look to Him. The other thing is, I didn't put in homework for this lesson. I put in some things, but I put no explanation. So there's the homework for this next week is in front of you, so don't forget to get that. And we're going to talk a little bit today about how to establish a time with God. But before we do that, I want to just go over the things I want you to remember about our lesson last week. I want you to remember, if you hear God's voice and do what He says, nothing in your life will be impossible. Nothing in your life will be impossible. Sometimes when God speaks to us, it can be scary, but following His directions will take you on the greatest adventure of your life. The Israelite generation that left Egypt didn't make it to the Promised Land because they grumbled and they refused to listen. But you have the opportunity to live a life filled with promise and to walk with Him if you'll just listen and obey. Wise people listen and obey. Remember the story we read last week. The wise man builds his house upon the rock, and the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. And you choose today where you want to build your house. Obedience will always be the path to blessing in our lives. There is no other way. So I just say to you again today, choose life so that you and your children may live, that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him, because the Lord is your life. There is no life apart from Him. Okay, today we're going to talk about the speaking side of prayer, and I'm sure you're all saying, hey, I have no problem with that. I'm really good at this. This is my best part of prayer, you know. It's the other parts that I struggle with hearing Him. But before we do that today, just before we start, I want to just talk a little bit, and we're going to do more of that in groups today, but how many of you have a hard time establishing a time with God? Okay, I think it's a universal thing, you know. So I put together this little things that will maybe help give you some ideas, you know. If you have small children, your plans are going to have to be very flexible because they're going to change every day. It's hard to have a plan when you have small children in your home. But a thing I might say to you, if you have children that are older, establish a reading time for them. A time when they go on their beds or they go in their room, and a time when you read. If you don't model to your children that a time with God and a time in prayer is important, they will grow up and think that is not important in their lives if you don't model that to them. If you work, you can, you know, you can listen to the Bible on CD, you know, just a lot of, you can spend your lunch time. Be creative and let God show you how to establish that time with Him. Keep a Bible in your purse. Keep your prayer list in your purse. How many times do we sit places just, going, oh my gosh, I have to wait, and we sit there and we're thinking all kinds of horrible thoughts rather than using that time, you know, to talk to God. Whenever God opens that up, whenever you have that time, have a plan, have something in your purse, be ready for that time that God gives you. The other thing I want to say to you this morning is don't just open your Bible and let it fall open. And you know, not that that can't be a blessing sometimes, but you need to have a plan. You need to have purpose in the time that you spend with God. If you don't have purpose in that, you'll find that you're not consistent in something that you do, you know? And it's like, would you take a novel and flip it open and read the middle of the story? No, you're going to read through the story so that you understand what it says to you. And that's what God wants you to do to Him. You know, we talked last week is God wants to speak to you, but if the main way He speaks to you is through the Word and you don't read the Word, what are your chances of hearing His voice? You know, if that's the main way that God speaks to us. And I'm not saying God won't speak to you otherwise, but I just want you to understand that hearing the words of life for your day are important. You know, we talked about last week, they can be the difference between life and death. You know, I had a friend call me just this week and said, you know, I'm feeling so bad about this person. I think something bad is happening in their life. And she says, I've just been fretting all day long. And I said, well, did you pray? You know, and sometimes, you know, we forget those things. We get so caught up in the world, we fret about things. When God wants us to come to Him, you know, He's the one that has the answer. So I brought my Bible today. It's the Daily Walk Bible. You know, I read the Bible through. I try to read it through every year. And I've shared that with some of you who have bought the Bible. But if you don't have a plan, and some people said, well, I can't read the Bible through in a year because that's just too big of a commitment. I'm going to freak out if I miss a day. The important thing is, so if you only read a chapter, so what if your baby's sick in that day and you only get two verses read? You've got a plan. You've got a place that you're heading. So it takes you 2 years to get through the Bible. You know, the point isn't how fast you do it. The point is that you have a plan that you're moving and God is speaking to you each day. So I have a sheet back there, and if some of you don't have a plan, something that gives you purpose, you know, in your reading of the Bible, you know, I encourage you to think about that, and I'll order some if people want them. So it's back there if you want it. So have a time, have a plan, have purpose to what you're going to do. And let me just say to you this morning, God wrote you a letter for a purpose. And you know, I like devotionals. I like Christian books. I like all those things. But if you want to hear his voice, you've got to read his letter. And not that he doesn't speak through other things, but that's someone else's revelation to you. You need to get God's personal revelation to you. So I hope as you go about today, you know, in your table time, that you'll talk a little bit about that and the things that maybe make it hard for you. And maybe that person sitting at the table with you today can encourage you and show you how, you know, God allows them to do that. So the woman of prayer, she will not bring great things to God unless she realizes the greatness of the God that she serves. The woman of prayer, she brings everything to God. She brings the little things, the big things, the in-between things. You know, there are people that think that God is too busy running the universe, like it is hard for him or something. And that we shouldn't bother him with all these small things in our life, you know. I'm telling you today that God is conscious of the sparrow falling to the ground, and that apart from him, we can do nothing, and he is concerned about everything that happens in your life. The scripture says that you can do what without God? Nothing. So why do we bring everything to God in prayer? Because you can do nothing without him. The king always has to be involved in that. And God is looking for women whose hearts are in harmony with his purposes and whose lives are dedicated to his purposes so that he can show himself strong in their lives. You know, it's a humbling thing to acknowledge that we cannot solve our own problems, but we cannot. We like to come to God with our solutions and ask him to bring about our desired results. Have you ever noticed that God tends to ignore us when we do that? Do you think it's because he has a much wiser solution than you have? Don't tell God how he ought to do business in your life or the lives of others. Ask him how he wants you to pray so that his will be accomplished in their lives. We tend to tell God what we want him to do and then get upset when he doesn't do it and he doesn't follow our directions. We stop praying, believing that God doesn't change circumstances, when all the time we weren't praying, we were directing God. This is where praying the word helps us, and we're going to spend some time learning how to do that, how to pray the word of God so that we know we're praying according to the will of God. And if we do that, we know he hears us, and we know he answers our prayers. The world tells us that we are strong and we are sufficient in ourselves, but Jesus addresses this with the church in Laodicea. He says, the church says, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But Jesus says to them, but you do not realize that you are wretched, you are pitiful, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. The Laodiceans were too proud to realize how needy they really were. Prayer is to be specific and have purpose, not just God bless the world, and I'm not putting that down. But are your prayers specific enough that when God answers them, you notice a difference? If you pray, God bless Mary today, but if you pray, God heal Mary today, or God give her whatever she needs for the day, then you have purpose to your prayers. And I'm not putting it down, because praying that is better than praying anything. But begin to pray with purpose. Ask God to give you direction how to pray for that person so you can pray the will of God over their lives. And you can see things so that your faith will be built up. Praying women are not satisfied with the status quo. They are visionaries who can see what things ought to be and labor in prayer until they see them come to pass. Ordinary people like you and me can accomplish extraordinary things through prayer. Be real with God. Tell him your problems, your doubts, your fears, your questions, and be brave enough to believe in our great God for great things. God allows us to participate with him in the way things turn out. He most certainly rules as the sovereign Lord in charge of the universe, but he does not manipulate like a marionette master all that happens. He absorbs our eager longings into his purposes and holy creativity. God created prayer because he listened He moves and he acts as we pray. Only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer move God. Prayer changes things, not because it's a magical formula, but because behind it is the Creator's power. Prayer moves the hand that moves the universe. There is more to asking than we can ever imagine, because there is a God that we cannot fathom. And there is in him a generosity that exceeds our wildest imaginations. The most important thing I can tell you is that God loves you, and he longs to have a relationship with you. He longs to talk to you. He longs for you to come into his presence and hear his voice. He doesn't want you out there on your own, doing your own thing. He wants to empower you to touch the world that he's put you in. And you can only do that if you have a close relationship with him. Let's look at a few things that God says about the speaking side of prayer. We're always to be in the state of prayer, and we've talked about that earlier, how we incorporate prayer into everything we do. Whether we're driving the car and we see the yield sign and we say, "Father, I yield you to you today." Whether we see the homeless man on the street and we pray for him and give him money. However, wherever we are, we can be God's instrument, and we can be in a prayer state. God is your strength for when we pray. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face. You are weak, but he is strong. If you are here today and weak, don't despair. Look to the Lord. He is your strength, and he will get you through wherever you are. God hears. When God hears our prayers, we're strengthened and we're filled with joy. Is there anything better? I had a friend come to me last week, and we went outside just the doors when we were here, and I wanted to jump up and down because God had answered our prayer, you know? There is nothing that builds faith in your heart, in your life, as we see God answering our prayers. Prayer brings understanding of his word, you know. We need to ask for wisdom and understanding before we read his word, before we pray, because he's the one that can teach us how to pray the will of God. God is attentive to our cry. He's waiting for you to come to him with the things that you need in his life. Never forget that he loves you and he cares about you. God wants his purposes to be fulfilled in your life, and they'll only be fulfilled as you bring them to him in prayer. This prayer, this communication with God, brings harmony in our lives because it allows us to begin to grasp what is really important in our lives, and that changes the way we pray. And we give up what we thought was important for what we finally come to realize important, which is the will of God in our lives. Hebrews tells us that let's approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So approach prayer with confidence. God is waiting for you to come to him and speak to him. I know my Redeemer lives, and he makes intercession for you and me. Part of the work of the Spirit is to help us as we pray. Romans 8 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with great groans and words that cannot be expressed. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." I look at it this way. Aren't you glad? Can you not hear me? Are you having trouble hearing me? Sorry. Okay, is that better? I'm sorry. So part of the work of the Spirit is to help us as we pray. Aren't you glad that someone does the proofreading of our prayers and makes them presentable to God? Sometimes I wonder if there aren't a lot more of our prayers answered that we don't even recognize. Have you ever considered that the Spirit in proofreading made the prayer to the Father much different than it came from our lips? Won't it be wonderful when we see Him and understand just how that works? When we're on our face before Him, we get a glimpse of His glory, and it's that glimpse that changes us. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they fell down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them there. That's what He wants to do in your prayer life as you come to Him. His glory wants to flood your life. Haven't you all had those times when the power of God and the presence of God was so powerful that you were overcome by being in His presence? I pray as you come to your time every day with Him that you come with anticipation and you expect God to meet you where you are. Prayer involves faith. 1 John 3:22 says, "And we receive from Him whatever we ask because we watchfully obey His orders. We observe His suggestions and injunctions, and we follow His plan for us, and we habitually practice what is pleasing to Him." James tells us that the only prayer that God answers is the prayer that is given in faith. In fact, our last lesson, which you don't have in your book, is going to be entitled A Faith That Moves Mountains. And we're going to go into much more detail about faith in that. But I know some of you are saying today, "I don't have that kind of faith. You know, if it takes that kind of faith to pray, then maybe, you know, maybe I need to give up on this prayer thing." But I want to encourage you today. God, if you know Jesus as your Savior, God has placed a seed of faith in your heart. And it says, the Word says, it only has to be the size of a mustard seed, and which is so tiny you can hardly see. We all have faith, and faith grows as we're in the Word, and we get a glimpse of the great God we serve. Begin today with the faith that God has given you, and it will increase as you're in His Word and in prayer, and as you see answers to those prayers. Luke 18:17 says to have faith like that of a small child. Remember the picture of the child jumping into his father's arm, and the child knows he's loved, and his father will not let him drop. If faith is required for our prayers to be answered, and our faith is built by being in the Word, what does that mean where we have to be? Prayer involves seeking. Psalms tells us to look to the Lord and His strength, to seek His face always. The scripture in Luke tells us, "He who seeks, finds." When do we stop seeing? Hosea says, "Sow for yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up that unplowed ground. Get in, dig in. It's time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you." So we keep seeking until He showers us. Being in the Word and praying every day is the only way to successfully seek His face. Make sure you're not looking for tomatoes in a corn patch. In other words, don't try to find another way to God. There is no other ways. You can't make your own way and find God. He shows us the way to life. But that means that prayer requires time and effort. Jesus was very early in the morning when it was still dark. He got up, He left his house, and He went out to a solitary place where He prayed. Luke tells us that one of those days Jesus went out into the hills to pray, and He spent the whole night in prayer with God. Be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. You may have to get up early, and you will have to find a specific place and time. It will not happen accidentally. It is going to take time and effort, but what could be better than knowing and communing with the One who loves us and gave his life so that we can experience what real life is really about. Are we missing out on all God has for us? Don't miss out. God is calling you today to come into his presence. He's waiting for you. Prayer involves persistence. Micah 7 says, "As for me, I look to the Lord for his help, and I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me." Persistence is continuing the job until it's done. If your boss gives you a large project to finish, do you spend just one day? Finishing a project takes persistence and time. Try remodeling a room. Does it happen in one day? No, it takes time and persistence. God has a project for you to complete. It won't be done in one day. You can't pray about something once and give up. Show up each day in prayer for that lost family member. Be like the child at Christmas that wants that new bike and reminds their parents over and over and over again, lest they forget. Persist, and the Lord will bring you out of darkness into his light. Remember Elijah, who said to his servant, "Go up and look now toward the sea." So the servant went up and looked, and he said, "There is nothing." And seven times Elijah said, "Go again." And it wasn't until the seventh time that he even began to see the small cloud. You know, I wrote the scripture down. You don't have it down there, but I wanted to read it just again to you in 1 Kings 18. You know, Elijah, Ahab the king has been wicked, and there's a lot going on. I'm not going to give you the whole story. But Ahab has not been following the Lord. But so Elijah wants to get rid of Ahab. He says, "Go out and get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." I want to tell you, when he makes that statement, there is not even a cloud in the sky. But what did Elijah do once he spoke that? Because he knew God was going to do something. Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. He bowed low to the ground, and he prayed with his face between his knees, because he recognized the only person that could bring this to pass was to Jesus. And I'm saying this to you this morning too. God may have spoken a word to you. You know, don't try to bring it to pass, but get on your knees and ask God to direct you, you know. So he says to his servant, "Go out and look out toward the sea." So the servant goes and looks and returns and said, "Look, there's nothing out there." Now, many of us would say, "Okay, there's nothing out there. I must have heard from God wrong. I think I'll stop. You know, obviously, this wasn't the Lord speaking to me." But Elijah goes back to praying, and he sends his servant out again. And each time the servant comes back, six times, he comes back and he says, "Look, Elijah, I don't see a thing." But the seventh time, he says, "I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." Then what did Elijah do? Man, he starts jumping up and down. He starts shouting. He said, and he runs to Ahab the king and he says, "You better climb in your chariot and go back home, because if you don't, the rain is going to stop you." How to have persistence and faith, how they work together. Prayer also involves expectation. We lay our requests out to him. Sometimes we pray and we thinking, "Oh, well, you know, we're going to see if God actually answers this prayer." God wants to answer your prayers. Go expecting him. Psalms 5:3 says, "Morning by morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. Morning by morning, I lay my requests before you, and I wait in expectation. I rise before dawn and I cry for help, because I put my hope and expectation in you, Lord." We're to come to him daily, expecting to hear from him, expecting, like the child at Christmas we talked about who wanted the bike. He has high expectations because he knows his parent loves him and longs to give him something that will bring him joy. Expectation also speaks of watching and waiting. I think of it in the morning. I have this big, huge window that I look at every morning as I'm reading, and I see the sun rise. And it was like Elijah with the servant. Once he saw the sun, you know how you just see that little bit at first, and it gets bigger and bigger and it rises. That's the kind of expectation God wants to have in your life. He wants to rise and be holy and bring power through your prayers and through your life, you know. So expect God to answer your prayer. But approach that God with the fear, because the fear of the Lord is a good thing. Psalm tells us that he fills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. Ecclesiastes says, "Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man." We need a healthy fear of God. When our earthly father told us not to do something, wasn't it fear of punishment many times that constrained us and caused us to obey? I know it was with my father. When he spoke a word to me, I went, "Yes, sir." God wants us to have that same response to him. He's a holy God. God is a God of love, but God of love requires him to discipline us. And it is wise to fear the discipline of the Lord. Just like our earthly father, our heavenly father expects us to obey him. There are consequences when we disobey our parents, and there will be consequences when we disobey God. I loved my parents, but I also feared the punishment that would come when I disobeyed him. Deuteronomy says, "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." We hear much about the mercy of God, and God is merciful. But don't disobey God thinking that God is merciful and that he will overlook deliberate sin in your life. We need to fear God. He's a consuming fire. Prayer involves having a clear and a self-controlled mind. 1 Peter says, "Be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray." I like what the Amplified said. It said, "But the end and culmination of all things has come now. Keep a sound mind and be self-restrained and alert for the practice of prayer. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." And you know what? You have the mind of Christ. So what do you do with that mind? Finally, my sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. A clear, self-controlled mind does not happen accidentally. Romans 12:2 says that we have to renew our minds. We also have to guard our minds. Scripture tells us that the eye is the lamp of the body, and we need to exercise control in what we let in that lamp. Romans 8:6 tells us that the mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit leads to life and peace. God wants to clear your mind this morning so that he can speak to you. He wants you to have a self-controlled mind to think about whatsoever things are true and lovely. This morning as I was reading my devotions, I was reading about the Israelites as they were, it was the second year, and they were beginning to complain. "I only have bread. I want meat," you know. And you know, they could only move when the cloud moved. So do you know what a big ordeal it is just to move from one house to the other? What is? But these people, sometimes they moved every day. So, you know, when I thought about it in that relationship, I thought, well, I might be complaining too, because I don't like moving. Sometimes they moved every day. Sometimes they moved every 2 days. Sometimes they moved once a week. Sometimes he had them there, you know, at one point he says for a year. He has them in the same spot. And I'm sure then the people were saying, "We've been here for so long, you know, can't we move?" Isn't that what we do in our lives? You know, we pray and we ask God to give us a big house. So God gives us a big house, and then we say, I hate cleaning this big house. You know, then we pray and we ask God for a new car, and God gives us a new car, and our husband has to work extra hours because we have to pay for this new car. So we complain that our husband is never home. You know, we could go on and on, but you can see how that can work in our lives. The very gift, God gives you a husband to bless you, and you don't like the way he's doing something, and so you complain against the gift that God has given you because it's not working out exactly like you had planned. You know, we need to be careful. You know, God gives us many things, but if we're complaining about the gifts that he gives us and we're not doing what Philippians 4:8, thinking of the blessing that God has given us, I think he stops giving us things. You know, why should he give us the new house that we're going to complain about? I have to clean this big house and I hate it. My husband went out and because I'd never really had a nice car. So he felt this real need to buy me a Mercedes, which was wonderful. But you know what? This shows how this mindset works. Number one, I didn't feel a need for a Mercedes, but he wanted to bless me with that. Well, I opened the door and the interior was black. And the only thing I could think of was, do you know how hot it's going to be in this car? Do you know how much fuzz shows up on a black carpet? You know, so many things like that we do in our lives, you know. So I just remind you this morning as you go through your day, when you prayed for something and God's given you something, be thankful and don't complain, you know. He's blessing you. But be careful what you ask for, too, because when you ask for that big house and he gives it to you, you know, you need to think of all those things. When you want that new car, you know, when you put something on that credit card, you know, you still have to pay for it. There are consequences sometimes to the gifts that we ask God for. So prayer is all about relationship, though I want to just bring us back to that, because the things I'm going to talk to you about in these following weeks are going to be like a do list. You're going to think, oh no, another thing I have to do in my lives. And it's never going to move from the do list until you have that relationship with God. That relationship. I wake up every day so excited to hear what God has to say to me. You know, this morning I woke up early and the first thing I thought about was, I wonder what God has to say to me today. I probably wrote 4 pages in my journal. I was so excited. I thought, Lord, I am so excited about what you said today. I really would like to talk about this instead about this lesson this morning because this is so good. You know, I want you to come to that place where you have that kind of a love relationship, because all these things aren't going to be a do list to you if you come to that point in your relationship with the Lord. So I want to talk just a few minutes this morning about the things that God tells us specifically to pray about in our asking part. He says, when you are in trouble, he wants you to pray. There's no other place to go. You know how when women get together, we sit and we talk about all of our troubles, and sometimes we walk away and we've never prayed about them, you know. The Lord says to you today and to me, if you're in trouble, you need to be on your knees and praying, because he has the only answer. Don't be like the world and just talk about your problems. Deliverance comes only as you cry out to him. And we need to request, the other thing it says that we need to request when we're praying is we need to request his mercy in our lives. Mercy is compassion for the miserable. If you ever seen an advertisement, this is the one that always gets me, so this is all uses. You see the little children that are starving on the TV, you know? And it raises feelings and emotions, doesn't it, when you see that small, starving child? And when the commercial's over, if all you felt for that small, starving child was those feelings and compassion, and you did nothing about it, it would have remained compassion. But mercy is different, and that's why we need it in our lives. Mercy is God not only feels and have emotions about where you are, but he does something about the situation. That's the difference. So if you saw this small starving child, you would, and you feel this compassion. If you gave money to support that small starving child, that would be mercy. You would have done something to help alleviate the situation that poor starving child was in. And that's what God does in our life. That's why we ask for his mercy. The other time he talks about is that we are to pray when we're suffering or afflicted. No one else can help you during those times. Sometimes we're suffering and afflicted because of sin in our lives, and some members of the body are suffering and afflicted because of their faith. Sometimes we're suffering and afflicted because of the sin of the nation that we live in. There are many reasons for suffering and affliction, but there is only one person that can change it for you. That's why he asked you to go in prayer about it. The other thing is, he specifically tells us to pray for safety and protection. Every day we experience God's safety and protection, and we need never to take it for granted. It's a miracle each day that God protects us from the evil in the world, and we should be thankful every day for that protection. You need to pray over your children in the morning. You need to pray over your husband as he drives out the driveway, you know. You need to ask God every day for safety and protection for your family and those that you love. It also says that when you need to pray when you're needy, because he's the only one that can help you in that need. You know, Jody this morning talked about the guy that gave away everything, you know. He thought he was needy for the things of the world, but you know, we're needy for God in our lives. You may have other needs, and I'm not putting those down, but your main need is you need Jesus, and you need him in every area of your life. God knows what you need before we ask him. It says in Scripture, but he also set up prayer for us to bring those needs for him. That's the way he works. Even though he already knows what you need, he asks you to voice those needs to him. We also need to pray that we will not fall. You know, the flesh every day likes to sin and give in to temptation. We're to pray for strength so that we do not give in to the flesh. Prayer means fellowship with the Father, and it is that fellowship that helps us and keeps our minds on things above so that we don't center on the things of the world. It also says that we need to keep watch and pray because Satan comes to us every day as an angel of light, not with a pitchfork and a red suit. Very rarely the way we expect him, he comes to us and he wants to catch us off guard. We need to pray every day that God will help us, that we'll walk worthy of the calling that we have. If you're sick, you are to pray and to seek prayer. James 5 says, is any one of you sick? Then he should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Mark says, and they cast out many demons, and they healed many sick people, anointing them with oil. And then back to James, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You know, what did Mark say? What did Jesus say to the disciples in Mark? He says, go out into all the world, preach the good news, lay your hands on the sick, and they will get well. 1 Corinthians talks to us about the spiritual gifts of healing. God gave the gift of healing to the body so that we could pray for others and see his healing power in the world today. 3 John 1:2 says, dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. 2 Chronicles tells us the story of Asa, the king of Judah. He got a very serious foot disease. But you know what? He didn't seek the Lord, but only the help of physicians, and he died. And does that mean I'm saying to you this morning that I don't believe in physicians? No, I don't. God gave us physicians. He gave them wisdom. He gave them knowledge. What I am saying to you today is that God is a God that still touches people. And you need to go to him just like in every area of your life. Go to him first. You know, be respectful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, it may save you that trip to the doctor, you know, if you just go to him first. And he may say, no, go to the doctor. I'm not saying never go to the doctor. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that this morning. What I am saying is that God is powerful and he can touch your life and make you whole. And I also say to you this morning, if you're ill and you haven't had the elders pray for you, I would say to you, do everything God says in his word to do, because then you know you've fulfilled his instructions to you. It's always up to God how he chooses, or if he chooses, to minister healing to your body. But if you do what he says, he will be your health in the midst of sickness. He will walk through you. He will give you grace each day. But don't expect the grace of God in your life if you don't do what he says. Do everything he says to you, and then you'll know that you've done everything he said to you, and he will do everything that you need in your life, whether you walk through the illness or whether he heals you of it. So run to God first with everything in your life. I want us to have some time and tables today, but I want to say one other thing to you. As we pray in that circle in the morning, I hope you'll read this over about the power of praying with someone else, and we'll talk about it later on in our study. But, you know, one reason Satan wants you to harbor unforgiveness in your life with another saint that you may be standing is because it stops the agreeing process. You know, Matthew 18:19 says, I tell you, if two of you on earth will agree, if you'll harmonize together, if you'll make a symphony about anything and everything you ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. God is waiting for us to make a symphony. But if you harbor unforgiveness as you're praying with that husband in the morning, with that child in the morning, you stop that symphony process from happening. You stop your prayers from being answered. So I just remind you, as we come together in groups and all that, lay all those things down at the Father's feet. Let that symphony take place in your life, and you will be amazed at how God answers your prayer as you begin to believe with other believers. Many Christians today sit on the outside looking in, like the child sitting in the lunchroom all along, wanting to be a part of what's going on, part of the in crowd, but not knowing how to do it. We don't have to sit on the outside looking in. God invites us every day to come fellowship with him and be in the most important in crowd in the universe. No one is left out. He invites everyone to come in and fellowship with him. So I encourage you today to pray for at least one other person. Set aside a time, you know, where you talk to him. Find a person with who you can pray and agree. Pray regularly with your spouse, with your children. I thought this was a great idea. Take your calendar for January or February and write the name of one person you will pray for each day of the month. In the asking side of prayer, we can seek things and we can even chase them, determined to get what we're asking for. Don't chase things. Chase God, and you'll get more than you ever asked or hoped for. Because if you seek the kingdom of God first, all those things that you desire in your life and your desires will line up with Him will be added to you. For the Lord has already told you what is good and what He requires, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Listen, fear the Lord if you are wise, for His voice today is calling out to each one of us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your voice that is calling out to each one of us. Lord, I pray you'll give each of us ears to hear. And Lord, for those that are just struggling, learning maybe how to love you and to have that kind of relationship with you this morning, Lord, I pray that you'll come to them and you'll reveal yourself in a mighty way today, that they might understand the love of God in their lives and how much you long to fellowship with them and to bless them. Father, for those that have needs this morning that they think are impossible, I pray that you'll speak to their heart about that nothing is impossible with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Father, thank you for what you're going to do in our time at our tables today. We praise you for your word because it's quick and powerful and sharper. And it helps us to divide in our lives the things of the flesh and the things of the spirit. And Lord, let us let go of the things of the flesh and cling to the things of the spirit. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.